Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Well, the Green Bay Packers come up short to the hapless Detroit Lions. We said they're going to play hard, right? We did say they play hard. They're not going to just roll over and play dead. That has not been their deal all year long. Lions over the Packers, 37-30, Gary Ellerson. Maybe Rodgers played a little bit longer than most of us wanted him to play, but got him out of that game healthy, and I think that was the goal at the end of the day.
You're right, Steve. That's really what it's all about, that they could get him some work. Yeah, I thought he played longer than I would like to have seen him play. Devontae Adams got the record. I think that's what it was about for him. And then we knew we might as well go ahead and hit it. Then we knew at some point we had to see Jordan Love and really what people thought of his play and how he looked at quarterback for a half. Mason Crosby, we talked a little bit about on our show on Friday, confident, concerned, and curious, right? What Mason Crosby was going to look like coming into this game. We know he'll get a couple of opportunities. So, I mean, still the Packers, like I said before, I still think they are the best team in the NFL, but they've got a lot of flaws like every other team that's out there right now.
But there were some good things to take out of this game. David Bakhtiari back. David Bakhtiari looked pretty good coming back, having not played all year long.
Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job. I don't know. I know you were questioning that or talking about that on Friday on, you know, how they were going to use them. And I guess it felt like they were just trying to get these guys some playing time before the playoffs started. So they rotate those guys in there pretty well. I think, didn't Lucas Patrick end up finishing out, though, at center, correct?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, Myers and Bakhtiari both came out.
Yeah, they rotated them in there. They got them some playing time. I think they just want to get their feet underneath them and see what they look like. And they'll go back in now, you know, tomorrow and see if anything swells up or if they're sore or anything like that. And if that's not the case, then they should be ready to go for the playoffs.
I think the other thing about this game, because I tweeted earlier in the game after the Lions had got a couple scores of, you know, even though this is a meaningless game, you know, I don't know how much you really take away from it. And numerous people concerned about this Packers first string defense and the big plays they were allowing, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I think they've been doing that to me all year long. Like, they're a bend but don't break defense. They try to keep everything in front of them and come up and make the sure tackle. So, I mean, we saw that. I think you'll see them better defensively. I thought we'd see a little bit more Preston Smith because he was close to getting some of these bonuses in his check. But we didn't see much of him. Devondre Campbell didn't see much of him. We saw Za'Darius Smith on the sideline. I don't know if that's promising or not, but for Za'Darius to make the trip on the road, to me, tells me that he's close to being coming back if they let him travel. So defensively, I'm not so much concerned about it, but we've seen this a lot throughout the year where they give up a ton of yards, but they were able to make some plays to get off on third down.
I think that a lot of people, and we'll see how this post game goes, and then Green and Gold Monday tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show, of course, as well. But giving up 37 to the Lions, I think, is going to set off red flags amongst everybody. You didn't shut them out in a single quarter of this football game. 7 in the first, 10 in the second, 7 in the third, 13 there in the fourth for the Detroit Lions against the Green Bay Packers. So dial it up now. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Fiverr with you here. If you want to vent, if you're disgusted, if you're still not so sold on Jordan Love after what you saw today, the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network. Let's start things off with Tony in Green Bay. You're first up here on a Green and Gold postgame show with Sparky and Gary. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk to you. And Sparky, thanks for responding on Twitter quickly to my – I missed the extra point. I didn't know if they went for two and failed it or what happened. And I couldn't find it online, so I tweeted out, and that, you know, you replied. I really appreciate
that.
Yeah,
he missed it wide right.
Here's the thing. So before the crazies call in, which you guys predicted was going to happen yesterday with the Jordan Love and all that, yep. I consider myself a lot like Gary. I get both sides. I know there's Roger lovers that call because I listen every single day to this show, and I know there's, you know, Love, you know, apologists, whatever. I get it all. But I don't know, man. The Chiefs game, I get zero blitz. He wasn't ready. You know, that was you know, an anomaly or whatever. But today, I don't know, man. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know he's not Aaron Rodgers. But, man, he just still looks so rattled. And it's been 2 years. Yeah, I know, weird off seasons. I get all that, too. I get the whole package, and I don't expect perfection. But, I expect a path a little further down the field than 5 yards, and I just don't ever see that. And I just want to know from you, too, if I'm I just want your opinion on it, because I know there's people that are going to call in and just bash the hell out of them. I get that. But I'm not one of them people. But I do love watching Rodgers play, and I just love – be a little more less deer in the headlight look. So thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tony. Your thoughts, Gary?
Go ahead, Steve. I'll let you handle the first one.
He's out the box. He didn't show you anything today. I mean, he just really didn't. I mean, normally you're wanting to see that flash. Give me something. Give me a wild play. Okay, you got it there. That's what I'm looking for. Give me something to show me kind of what the future may look like. And you really didn't get that flash play at any point from Jordan Love. And then when they got the ball with less than 2 minutes to go, I go to Gary, I go, oh boy, this would be a huge talking point if he's able to lead them down the field and score 7 when, you know, everybody's kind of counting him out at this point. And not only does he do that, he gets a ball deflected, and then Amari Rodgers can't hang on to the deflection and gets picked off. Okay, whatever that may be. So now you get the ball back again less than a minute to go. And again, I'm not thinking he's going to drive the ball down the field, but let's just see what happens. And he gets some pressure, and he's thrown off his back foot, throws it way behind St. Brown, and gets intercepted by the Detroit Lions to end the game. There's just not a lot to be positive about, I don't think, Gary, unless I'm not remembering something that happened in the game when he was in there. But there's just not a lot to grasp onto go, this is why he's going to be okay.
You know, I'm going to try to maintain my composure today and tomorrow, but I think what's going to have to happen, and I'm going to be jump off the boat here and hope I don't drown myself, then just get rid of the guy. Get rid of the guy. Get rid of Love. Let's just find somebody else. That's probably where we got to go, because no one's going to be satisfied. They're not. They want this guy. I mean, I'm going to watch my Twitter feed. It feels like Packer fans, not you, Steve, Packer fans are actually rooting against the guy. I got guys here rooting against Jordan Love. And so there's no way that he can be right. There's no way that anybody is going to see anything positive. Now, the one interception that you talked about that he threw the last series, he's got to be able to step up into the pocket, or he's just got to be able to take that hit and stand in there and throw it to St. Brown. But that takes time. I mean, you just don't learn that right away. I mean, Steve, I go back to almost 10 years ago where I had you in the hallway, and I go, this is what it's like to be a quarterback when a guy is coming down at you. You got to be brave. You got to sacrifice yourself to do that. And that takes time. That's why the interception was thrown, because he didn't want to stand in there and take it. He's got to take that hit. So those things just don't happen overnight. Had he stood there and took that hit and delivered the ball, now St. Brown's got to catch it. I don't even know if I'm 100% sure that guy would catch it. But he's got to stand in there and take that hit on that particular play. I saw some improvement myself over the last time I saw him. But is he Aaron Rodgers? No. Tannehill, what was Tannehill before he got to the Titans?
When he was in Miami?
Horrible in Miami.
I'd have to look where his numbers were, but I'm not a Tannehill fan still, but either way,
and,
yes.
And I'm not either.
He's not horrible, though. But
he was horrible in Miami.
Yeah.
He wasn't good. Got into a system and was better, is a better quarterback right now with the Tennessee Titans. He can win some ball games for you. The problem is, Jordan Love ain't going to be Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. It feels like to me there is a step down. I can admit that right away.
So Tannehill's first year with the Dolphins, 58% completion percentage. That's not good. 3,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions his first year. Then his second year, he got better. 60% completion percentage, 3,900 yards, 24 touchdowns to 17 interceptions. The year after that, his third year as a starter, 66%, 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions for the Dolphins. And then after that, the next year wasn't so good, 2015, 61%. But, I mean, he never had really horrible numbers. But to what you were saying about Jordan Love, I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, the Packers were ready to bail on Rodgers when you take Braum in the second round and take Matt Flynn in the seventh round after a couple of years of watching Rodgers. So, you know, would it be surprising if they come into this deal, if Rodgers isn't going to be here, because that's going to have to be made up before the draft, obviously. So if Rodgers isn't going to be the quarterback, do they go and take another quarterback relatively high in this draft to kind of protect themselves against Jordan Love? Or do they go out and get a vet like a Minshew or somebody to come in here and be competition for Jordan Love next year? Don't know, but that will tell you the confidence level that they have in him, I think, at the end of the day, based on how they approach the offseason if Rodgers isn't coming back going forward.
Well, I think that's what it is. Well, I'm going to go back to Tannehill because you read his numbers. I thought he was horrible in Miami. I just didn't think he was a good quarterback. The trade for him was absolutely, I don't know if they traded him, but the trade for him to where he is now to how he's playing now is appreciably better than what we saw in Miami. They thought that he could not lead them to a AFC championship game. They thought he could not win a playoff game for them in Miami, and that's why they moved him. Then he gets into a system, and still, I'm with you, Steve, he's not the greatest, but he gets into a system where they can manage him. He's a game manager. And I think if you look through the NFL, if you're not Aaron Rodgers, if you're not Tom Brady, I don't know who else you would say. Well, even I like the one kid, Joe Burrow's got a lot of talent. If you're not Joe Burrow, then you're like the second rung of players, which means that you've got to have some guys around you to make you good.
Yep. I'll take some of your calls. People are lined up on hold. We'll get to you guys. Coming up next, the Green Bay Packers fall to the Detroit Lions 37-30. We're here for you to vent, to show your concern. Whatever the case may be, we're here for you. Sparky and Gary here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented to you by Lakeland University.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network. Who scored first? Was it a big play? It's time for the Schulze Family Beef first score of the game. Schulze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality Wisconsin pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in. It is the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented to you by Lakeland University. Sparky, Gary Ellerson. First play of the game, that first drive of the game was really impressive. I was ready to get Rodgers out at that point after that first drive.
Right.
This is how it ended, courtesy of Fox.
Third and goal. Rodgers looks. Throws. Caught. Touchdown, Green Bay. Lazard.
7-0 that ended up being for the Green Bay Packers. Lazard with a nice day today as well. Burkhart and Olsen on the call. I'll take them every game over Buck and Aikman, just for the record. Let's go to Steve in Germantown. You're next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show with Sparky and Gary. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, good. simple takeaways from this game. The first drive, first couple series, really. Rodgers, the offense, Dylan, wide receivers, especially Lazard, they were locked in. They had a nice flow to them. That was good to see. Going to the playoffs, you need them to start quick. You want that offense to start early, put points on the board in the first, second quarter. Now, if we switch to the second half, oof, boys. So are you a Packers fan out there who questions Aaron Rodgers and they need him here, they want to trade him and get rid of him? They need to reevaluate that thought, because if you want to think that Jordan Love is going to take this torch from Rodgers and be anywhere close to what he can bring to the table, it's not going to happen. You can just tell, even when Rodgers was starting his first couple years, he had a certain moxie about him. He had a certain confidence that you can just tell on the field. But that quickly translated from a 6-10 season to a 10-6 season where in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden that third year, what happened? Super Bowl happened. You know, the Super Bowl came back home.
Well, cool. Let Jordan Love start for three seasons and see where we're at.
Definitely think that could potentially happen.
Because he hasn't started for a season yet, so we're not even to the point of seeing what his first year record would be.
Very true. Very true. But I can just, again, from the couple games he's been in there, I'm simply saying that you could tell even that first start when Rodgers was in Dallas, when Favre got injured, he had a certain confidence. He had a certain way to command that offense. And I get that Rodgers had his struggles. Again, his first year starting was 6-10. It was tough. But, man, I don't see those similarities between him and Love. I really don't. And, again, we're talking Hall of Famer. I totally understand that concept. But if you're talking a franchise in the last 30 years that has predicated themselves on quality quarterback play.
That's not how this is going to be. No, that's not quality. No, it's not quality. That's the wrong word. On Hall of Fame quarterback play, no. You are probably do not have a Hall of Famer at this point. Thanks for the call. No. And if the standard is going to be Hall of Famer, then you're going to be mad for the rest of your life, probably watching the Packers. Because, again, as we've talked about, back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And that is why some of us get mad at the fact that you've managed two Super Bowls wins out of 25, 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. A lot of franchises don't even get a Hall of Fame quarterback. Look at the Bears. It was their last Hall of Famer. I mean, That's the type of thing. The Lions, look at all their Hall of Fame quarterbacks they have to be noted for. It's just not a thing. And then you have back-to-back chances at this bad boy with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and you just don't know, you know, how good your quarterback's going to have to be now going forward in order to get back to the Super Bowl. We think, based on with what the Rams have done and the Niners have done and their ability to get to the Super Bowls, not win, but get there, they didn't have Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Gary, and they were still able to figure it out.
Yeah, with Jared Goff and Steve, you mentioned the Bears. Well, their best quarterback, I think, with talent was Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Would you take a Jay Cutler with the Green Bay Packers right now? You look at the Lions, their best quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Would you take Matthew Stafford as your quarterback right now? If you didn't have Rodgers, is what I'm saying. So, right, and Cutler's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Stafford is going to have Hall of Fame-type numbers. We'll have to wait and see if what that translates into, but you're right, Steve. Steve, you just said something. You said something that caught me, just hit me in my heart when you said, "Hey, then let's give Rodgers 3 years." No, not Rodgers. Let's give Love 3 years. Steve, you're dead on the money, and see what he can do.
Right.
You're dead on the money, because right now we're judging this guy for some mop up games. That's what we're doing, and then we're gonna say, "Well, I can tell he doesn't have the moxie that Rodgers had." So now we're going to go there.
Yeah. It's going to go a lot more places than just there. Just hold on tight. It's going to continue to happen.
Jesus. I see it on Twitter, Steve. Yep. They're killing me.
Tony and Ashlyn, you're next in the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packer running back Gary Ellerson and me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Tony?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a couple quick points. One's a question. My question is, is it scheme or is it individual play that Shandon Sullivan is always 10 yards off the ball? I mean, that irks me. Like, all season long, I've seen that and I've watched it. And then, of course, the lack of tackling, more of banging in the players and then hoping they're going to fall down and they're not tackling. And as far as Love goes, I think he's more like Trubisky. I think he's going to have a career like, yeah, he's not very accurate. And as far as our third-round pick with Amari Rodgers, I'd like to get your thoughts on him. I don't think he's very good.
Now, I think we've seen a good sample size of Amari Rodgers.
Well, at least a full year.
With that.
At least a full year.
Yeah, I think more so than what we've seen out of Jordan Love. I'm going to give Amari Rodgers another year. Like, this offseason, he's got to get it figured out. Like, I don't know if he has to lose some weight, get a little bit more training. I know he had a knee surgery that was pretty big in college. Maybe something there is wrong with that. But I'm going to give him another year, another offseason, to try to get up to speed and to get himself right.
All right.
Before I say, cut him.
Thanks for the call. And then his point about Sullivan, you know, playing 10 yards off of a receiver at the line of scrimmage and then back in coverage. That's more scheme than personal choice.
Yeah, that's scheme. That's all scheme. And you heard Matt LaFleur, I think, was that earlier this year, said he wanted sticky coverage?
Yes, Steve? Correct.
I think he said something like that. So basically he was talking to the defensive coordinator that move these guys up, get these guys up a little bit more. So I would agree with you, Steve. I think that's, to me, is more scheme. And they've been playing that scheme all year long. Rasul Douglas really is kind of the only one that are taking these chances. But in this game here, Rasul was a little bit more conservative.
All right, let's see. We can take another one here. Yeah, we'll get another one in. Let's go to Dave in Fox Point. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. Jeez, the Greening Old Post Game Show with Sparky and Gary. What's up?
Well, we'll be soon.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay, I thought he played decent. I mean, I thought he played better than he did with Kansas City. And at play to St. Brown, if you would have noticed, the defensive player was bearing down. So he had to throw that ball before he wanted to. So I don't think he was great, but I think he's got something there to give us. And you just, who was he playing with? The third stringers?
Yes.
You know, and the defense didn't help him out one bit. I mean, we had no Kenny Clark. We had nobody out there, and I don't know who they were watching. And I don't think the referees were at this game today. You know, they called two flags. Yeah, come on. So, no, I thought Love looked decent. I don't think he looked great, but he hasn't had a big book, a work to show. And part of it is probably his LaFleur scheme and what he had him do. But I thought he looked decent, better than the Kansas City game. And I'm not ready to, you know, for everybody to just, hey, put him out there on the field. He's going to be an Aaron Rodgers or a Troy Aikman. That ain't going to happen. He needs more playing time.
Right.
Next year, I'll let him play all of his preseason games if Rodgers signs again. Let him play most of them.
Yeah, I think that's what will happen too, because I don't think Rodgers will play. He doesn't like playing preseason. Dave, thanks for the call. Now again,
Steve, let me ask you a question here.
Yeah.
When Love in the second half, Love started the game. We were down, right?
Yes, Gary. We were. The score at halftime was 17-13.
Right. And the next score was by who? Was it by Detroit? Did they score before? Did they have the first score?
Yeah, they had the ball. They had the ball first.
And so then they got up another score, right?
Yeah, it was a 36-yard pass from Jared Goff to Brock Wright was the...
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. Crosby had a field goal to make it 24...
Hold 22?
On a second. Oh, no. I was right the first time. I can't read a box score. It was 24-13 on the Brock Wright 36-yard pass from Jared Goff. And then Crosby had a 36-yard field goal to make it 24-16. So, yeah, the Lions scored first.
Okay, so if we're comparing, just for giggles, if we're comparing Rodgers to Love, would it be that Love actually got the lead back? Did we ever get the lead back with Love?
Yeah.
Did we go ahead?
Yeah, we did. Because then they came back and they scored. But, yeah, the Packers ended up getting the lead back at 30-27 with 4:49 to go in the game. That's that 62-yard throw to – or pass, short pass to DeGuara.
Yeah. So we get the lead back, and then the defense gave it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
We used to say it all the time about Rodgers. Remember that?
Yes.
We never had a deep defense. He brought it back, but the defense gave it up.
Yeah, so with Rodgers – in the game, they scored 18 points. 17 points in the second half with Jordan Love at quarterback. 17 points under Jordan Love at quarterback in the second half. That's not horrible. Okay. 17 points in a half, that's pretty good.
Yes.
It's not horrible.
Yes.
Again, at the end, a couple of interceptions. Obviously, that frustrates people. I get it. All right, so coming up next, we'll continue to go back to the phones here. If you want to hop aboard, talk about Jordan Love and what you think of him. Maybe you're concerned about this defense at this point. Maybe you see some positives to take away from this game. Everything's on the table if you want to talk about it. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network. Mike on the south side of Milwaukee, Chris in Brookfield. You guys are coming up next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show presented to you by Lakeland University.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. What was the scoring drive of the game? It's time for the drive of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in. The Green Bay Packers come off losers today to the Detroit Lions, 37-30. Sparky and Gary Ellerson with you. And, of course, Leroy Butler, the three-time finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We think he'll get in this year. He'll join us, as always, on a Green and Gold Monday tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. Looking forward to talking to you then as well. If you want to hop aboard here, got room for you. Talk about what you saw in today's Packers game. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. Tweet us at Big Show Network. Drive of the game, technically the longest scoring drive that the Packers had was the first drive, the Allen Lazard catch, 13 plays, 74 yards. But I'm not going to go with that one. Instead, I'm going to go with that first score there in the fourth quarter. The 12-play drive for 57 yards, capped off with this run right here.
Taylor is in for the touchdown. Packers can go for two to tie it.
And they didn't get the two. That made it 24-22 Lions. Patrick Taylor with the touchdown run. How impressed were you by Patrick Taylor today, Gary? That highlight courtesy of Fox.
I thought he's okay. You can tell, like, once again, and I'm okay with it. If he's going to be your backup running back, I think he can fill in. But he's not Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon. I think he's serviceable. I think he'll be a good backup running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of him, I guess. But he looks fine to me. He looks pretty good. I know Leroy
doesn't like hurt
him.
You.
No, Leroy's a big fan of his in preseason. I like him. All right.
Yeah.
Back to the phones we go.
The guy that I like better, Steve, real quick, is who's the guy that got hurt? Is it Kylan?
Kylan Hill. Yeah.
Kylan Hill. That guy now can be special.
We'll see how he comes.
Yeah. We'll see how he come back after that knee injury. But that's the guy to me.
Yeah, he was a draft pick last year. Yeah. All right, next up, Mike Southside of Milwaukee. What's up, Mike?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Don't take the loss so sad. Oh, come on. No one got hurt.
Yeah, no, that's wrong. MVS got a back injury and left.
This was a meaningless game.
But you did lose MVS, Mike.
You got your backup.
He doesn't care.
First round pick, Gary. They're not cutting the first round pick because Joe Burrow's not walking through that door. Even if Rodgers leaves, I heard the draft this year is not really quarterback savvy. Now, they fall for these flea flickers and triple flea flickers. And if you use your memory after I hang up, the San Francisco game, was it a fake field goal? You know, a play right before the quarter, Patriots. It's just you gotta know what you're doing out there. They just don't have someone to say, "Hey, watch for this, watch for that." But they're not gonna cut. Packers don't cut first round picks.
Oh, they're not going to cut him, but the alternative is if Rodgers is here, I know he's just being facetious because he's frustrated with all these people going after Jordan Love. But look, there's one of two things that could occur here, right? So if Aaron Rodgers leaves after this year, and again, we all hope he doesn't, but if he does, it's either going to be A, you go get a veteran quarterback to either compete with Love or just make his backup, like a Minshew or somebody like that.
Okay.
Or B, you take another quarterback relatively high, second or third round, to come in and kind of give you an alternative to him. I mean, if you go back to, say, Washington, when they drafted RG3, They came back later in that draft and took Kirk Cousins relatively early on in Michigan State, and everybody thought they were nuts, but they were trying to protect themselves, and then RG3 ends up getting hurt, and Kirk Cousins ends up becoming the quarterback.
Can I just get one last comment in?
Yeah,
if you go that route, you're back to square one. How many quarters? I'm going to guess 10 regular season quarters. Jordan Love is playing.
I don't know if he's even played that many, but
we got that Kansas City game.
That's four. Two here is six.
Oh, yeah, 2 year.
Yeah.
And then I can't think of it. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's even 10.
I'm not sticking up for the guy, but you're going to judge him on that?
Well, here's what. Thanks for your phone call, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. You guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
The offense is going to look completely different with Jordan Love, right?
More running.
Right. Yeah. Right now, Steve, if you look at this team on the offensive side of the football, I would say their strong suit is their offensive line right now. They have developed offensive linemen that is out of this world right now. So you're going to see more running. You're going to see more running formations. You're going to see more boots. You're going to see more play action pass. You're going to see more over routes. And I think you'll see now, and I don't know how guys' nerves are, how brave they are, but what's going to have to happen is Jordan Love now is going to have to understand how to stand up in that pocket and take that hit when these guys are coming down on him. And in some cases, that separate the quarterbacks that make it in the NFL that don't make it in the NFL. A lot of these guys get gunshot. The older Carr, see, what was his name?
David Carr.
Got absolutely killed.
The Texans.
And never recovered from that. Yep. The offensive line was bad. So he never recovered. So some guys just can't take those hits like that, and they get gunshot. So we'll still yet have to see how Jordan Love can adapt and stand up into that pocket and take hits.
And take advantage of when teams blitz on where to find that hot route and get rid of the football.
And we saw that today, though. I saw that today more so in this game than I've ever seen it. Now, he hit the running back, Taylor, I believe, on a hot route. I think he got one of the tight ends on a hot route. So that's why I say I have seen more progress in this game than I've ever seen out of him since he's been with the Green Bay Packers.
All right, let's go to Chris in Brookfield. You're next on the Green and Gold post-game show presented by Lakeland University. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. Hey, I love the game. But no Packer was carted off the field. We got everybody coming back, hopefully, of MVS or back 2 weeks. Hopefully, he's back. He's that field stretcher you need. Got to see Bakhtiari make plays against a team that was playing for pride, and he got to see Myers. The only thing I wish I would have seen is Najim playing right tackle. I really would love to have seen how that kid can play right tackle. You got to see if he can be ready to fill in for Kelly if he gets hurt. I love the way Taylor ran the ball. I thought he did really good. I was kind of disappointed in the defense, but then again, they played soft. They're basically playing, you know, let's get through this game, but we don't want to come out of here hurt. I thought Barnes made some really good tackles. He was up in the stuff in the run or whatever. I thought overall it was a great game. I got a lot of good comments, I think, about Jordan Love, but then I won't have nothing to call you about for tomorrow.
Well, we'll be here tomorrow. So save it a little bit, Chris. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of your night. WI Ninja tweets at Big Show Network at Gary Ellerson. Do you think Jordan Love would look better had he had the ones out there with him?
You know what? I was okay with the guys that they had, though, Steve, other than Devontae, because the offensive line to me felt like they were intact, because that's what you really want. You want the protection. So he had Amari Rodgers. I get no Devontae, but still, I think maybe Lazare stepped out a little bit too. I don't know if I saw him that much in there. MVS, you talked about, they got hurt. But still, I thought there was enough offensive firepower in there for him to be successful. Because I like the offensive line.
If you go back to the Kansas City game, where he was stuck with no receivers as well, Randall Cobb was his saving grace in that game. And there was no Randall Cobb out there. So the one guy that he did have some chemistry with. Now, the other guy that he had chemistry with in OTAs and so forth was Juwan Winfrey, was another guy. But then he ended up hurting the preseason. And then Winfrey had that fumble right off the bat when they had the ball on this one.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously didn't help either. Nate, north side of Milwaukee, you're next here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show. Nate, what did you take away from this Packers loss to the Lions?
It really went out the way I thought it was going to go. Besides the first half, when you get a guy doing fake punts and giving you the ball on their on the positive side of the field. We got to cash in on those. I wish we could have got a little bit more pressure on there, but I understand that we're not trying to really show too much film, and then also we're not trying to get guys hurt out there. So the first half was a little bit disappointing. The second half, it kind of went how I thought it was going to go, being to the fact that you got second stringers and third stringers out there trying to chase these first stringers around. We're really thin in the secondary as far as second stringers and third stringers. And my thing on Jordan Love is I'm not a guy that's going to bash him. I want Aaron Rodgers here. But like we can't compare Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers. It's not fair to him. He did make some mistakes. Like Gary said, you got to stay in there and deliver the ball. Sometimes you're gonna have to take them hits. But that's a confidence thing that can happen over time. One thing I do want to say is we did see him make some type of throw. That throw to that tight end Davis, that should have been caught. That was a touchdown right there. He got out the pocket, extended the play, and then dropped it in the breadbasket. And Tyler Davis did not catch it. So for people to say that he didn't show anything today better than Kansas City, he showed a little bit. He got the lead back, but then the defense gave it up. That's not on him. Anytime it happens with Aaron Rodgers, oh, it's the defense. But when it comes time for Jordan Love and he gets the lead back, oh, it's Jordan Love's fault that he didn't get it back after he got it back the first time. So Packer fans need to chill out with this slander on Jordan Love.
You know, the other thing I was just thinking about, thanks for the call, and you're right about what you just said, thanks for the call, is that loss is on Rodgers' record. Because that wasn't a start by Jordan Love. He came in the second half, so I'm pretty sure you're talking about wins and losses, games that Rodgers starts. That one's on Rodgers' record, not on Love's. So technically, Love still only has one game on his record, the one game that he started at this point. We got Rob and DePere, Gerard in Delaware. You guys are coming up next. Packers come up on the short end of the stick. They lose to the Detroit Lions 37-30.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. What player stood out from today's game? Who made the biggest impact? It's time to name the Van Horn Automotive MVP of the game. Van Horn Automotive Group, with locations throughout Wisconsin and in Iowa. Family born and employee owned. On the web at vanhornauto.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
All right, MVP in a loss. That is the question. MVP in a loss for the Packers as they lose 37-30, Gary. A couple of candidates, I guess. Rodgers, 14 of 18, 138 and two touchdowns. A quarterback rate of 135.6. A.J. Dillon had 14 carries for 63 yards. Patrick Taylor, 11 for 53 and a touchdown. Alan Lazard, 5 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. DeGuara, 3 for 66 and 1 touchdown, including the one touchdown of 62 yards that gave him the lead. Who do you like for MVP today?
I like Alan Lazard.
I do too. Alan Lazard, yeah. Your MVP of the game brought to you by our guys over at Van Horn. Rob and DePere, you're next here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show with Gary Ellerson and me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Rob?
Yeah, well, you know, I watched the game today. Like I said, I've been watching the games for quite a few years. And Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Brett Favre was a great quarterback. I would have liked to see Aaron Rodgers go two Super Bowls, win two Super Bowls, even though Brett did it in two in a row. But what I see today is we got to play a heck of a lot better. I don't understand why we don't do the trick plays. I think there was a lot of guys out there, our second and third string players, that just didn't seem like they were up to it. I mean, you got to remember, you're going to get cut from the team, you know, if you're not playing at your best. And I don't care if they're a 2-13, two wins, two losses, 13 and a tie team. I'll tell you what, I hate to say it, but Tampa Bay wouldn't have let that happen. If Brady was playing for the Patriots, they would not let that happen. I mean,
what you mean defensively? Are you talking about the defense or are you talking about the offense?
I'm talking about both, the offense and defense. I mean, you got to think about that. I mean, we've won games by the skin of our teeth. I mean, why wouldn't you actually take the extra point, too? Why would you go on a fourth down play with a quarterback that hasn't played almost the whole season? I mean, I think there was just some plays that were just, I'm scratching my head at. We've done it even with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure Matt LaFleur a while back, if everybody has forgotten that they had their feuds. Because Aaron Rodgers wants to win a game, I guess. He wants to win games. And I heard Tom Brady, if you recall, saying, no, I'm not doing that play. I'm doing my play. As we all know, Tom Brady is, I guess, the GOAT. Even though I think they should be annulled for Super Bowl for the spy cam and whatever and the deflated yeah. football, whatever. But Green Bay as a team, today we should have won this game. I mean,
well, you had the lead with just under 5 minutes to go.
Huh?
You had the lead with just under 5 minutes to go.
Exactly. And we could have went 14-3 instead of 13-4. You know what I mean? I mean, other teams look at us. Look at Dallas Cowboys. I got a friend that's a Dallas Cowboy fan. They just had two games at 50 points. That's a college score, and they don't even have the record we have. I mean, I'm totally confused. I almost think sometimes it's scripted.
We'll find out, Rob. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We got more on hold here. Gerard in Delaware still sitting there. Bob in Boston. You guys are all coming up here on a Green and Gold postgame show. Packers come up on the losing end to the Detroit Lions. If you want to hop aboard, feel free to do so. Got an open line for you as well. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. Also, don't forget, you can also tweet us at Big Show Network. And don't forget, if you tuned in late, you want to hear what happened in the beginning of the show, you can always hit rewind on your Audacy app, AUDACY, or simply go to BigShowNetwork.com.
Border to border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your host for the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in, Packers. Losers. Losers, I tell you. 37-30 to the Detroit Lions. If you're a Lions fan, I don't think I'm happy. To be honest with you, I don't think I'm happy at all. If I'm a Lions fan, I didn't want them to win this game. No chance, especially with the Jaguars beating the Colts. Like, once I got to halftime and saw that score, I would have been scoreboard watching. Well, let's see what happens in that game. And as soon as I realized that that game was pretty much over, I think I might have pulled Goff out and said, you're done. We're gonna pull our starters too, just like Green Bay, and try and get out of this thing. I definitely don't think that I would have pushed for it after they got the lead with under 5 minutes to go. You saw the Jaguars had that game in hand over the Colts to pretty much eliminate them from any type of playoff contention and eliminate Jonathan Taylor from any type of MVP consideration at that point, losing in Jacksonville. But it essentially cost yourself the number one overall pick, Gary, by winning this game, in which they could have had the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but I think you got to go for the win. I think you've got to, you're looking at trying to build a culture of winning. And you can't, it's just a tough spot to be in. I know you're looking at the pick, but it's just a tough spot to be in.
Packers history. Packers history tells you. Don Majkowski wins a meaningless end-of-year game, and the Packers end up at 2 instead of 1.
Yeah.
And they get Mandrich instead of Aikman.
Well, that's the Packers' fault.
Some things... Well, yeah, because they won. If they lose, they take Aikman at 1, and there is no Brett Favre, probably.
Well,
and
maybe they should have took someone else at 2.
And who? Taking Mandrich at 2,
well,
no matter
no,
who
here's
GM
why,
was.
Here's why Mandrich was going at 2.
Because he was dominant.
Well, not even that. Because it wasn't – who was Barry Sanders in that draft?
Barry and Derek Thomas.
Okay, and so there was some talk about Barry Sanders, too. And here's the crazy part. Reason why they took Tony Mandrich, because they thought they already had their franchise running back in Brent Fullwood.
Oh, right.
That's why they took Mandrich.
Yeah.
Because it was, to me, Barry Sanders was the next pick. But they didn't do it because they had Brent Fullwood.
That draft went Troy Aikman 1, Tony Mandrich 2, Barry Sanders 3, Derek Thomas 4, Deion Sanders 5.
Right.
The only
and
one
they were trying to solidify.
Up, right. The only one that's not a Hall of Famer is Mandrich.
Yeah, they were trying to solidify their offensive line with their franchise running back.
All right, let's go to Bob in Boston. You're next here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show, presented to you by Lakeland University with Gary Ellerson and me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Bob?
I thought they should have taken Mandrich instead of Aikman back then, because a dominant left tackle would set you for years, and you don't know what you're getting with a quarterback.
That's true.
But, two thoughts on today's game, one about Rodgers and one about Love. And first of all, with Love, I understand we can't compare him where he is in his development to where Rodgers is. That's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We didn't do that legitimately when Rodgers came in following Favre, and we can't do it with Love. But given the fact that Love has been with the team for a couple of years now, getting practices, and for the last several weeks of the season, when Rodgers was nursing his toe and not taking practices, and he was getting all of the number one rotations and everything else, is it fair to be able to compare where Love is in his development as a young quarterback and compare him to other young quarterbacks around the league? Because I kind of have this... I don't know and follow all of the other young quarterbacks and other teams. I'm basically a Packer fan.
Right.
So I'd be looking for some real input there. The other thought and question that I have is regarding Rodgers and how his time in Green Bay plays out. If he decides to stay until he retires and he has, let's say, 3 good years left in him where they could be a high playoff / Super Bowl contenders before he retires, and then he leaves, is that a better scenario than being able to trade him at the end of this year, getting huge salary cap relief with regard to the multiple number ones and possibly number two picks? I think you'd be able to get 4 picks for him
easy.
Very easily.
Yep.
And in terms of building over the long term, would that be better than just having him walk away, getting nothing back from him, and having to not sign other valuable players because of the salary cap considerations?
Okay. Bob, couple things.
I don't know.
Couple things here. One, yeah. So he's got essentially 1 year left on his deal, right? So one of two scenarios are going to play out. Either A, they will actually, I guess there's three scenarios. So one is that they take up some of that money and guarantee it into like a bonus type situation to lessen the salary cap. But I think it's going to be $12 to $14 million less next year than he would be if they wanted to keep him and have him play out the last year left on his deal. Two, they work out some type of an extension to, again, free up cap space for next year and extend it by 2 or 3 years, whatever the case may be. Or three, they trade him. And that's the other option. I think the odds of them having him play out a year and the ability for him to walk away without them getting anything in return is probably the longest of odds, would be my guess. Because if you don't think he's here long term, then you're probably better off moving him and moving on versus allowing him to walk away as a free agent and essentially only get a compensation pick in that following year's draft. The best move to do is to get all those draft picks. Bob, thanks for the call. What say you, Gary Ellerson? You agree?
I think they're going to do everything in their power to keep Rodgers here. It's going to be up to him whether he wants to be here or not. Then I think you move from that. Then, you know, after that, then maybe you trade him. And, well, he'll probably ask for a trade if he doesn't want to be here. So then you move on from that, and then you get your draft picks. You figure out Jordan Love's your guy or not. And then, you're starting over. And I still think they're not a Super Bowl team. But I still think the way this team is put together offensively, with this offensive line, I still think this team can remain competitive.
All right, let's go to Gerard in Delaware, listening on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. What's up, Gerard?
Hey, fellas. Look, I've seen every quarterback star on down, right? And don't forget, Packer fans, and Gary might remember this, thought Randy Wright was going to be Joe Montana. Seriously. And my point is
this. I don't know if anybody thought that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I used to get
I didn't think that.
Way back, you know. Oh, I didn't say God, you, but no. you're a lot smarter than a lot of these guys. You know that. But I mean,
well, I played with Randy. I played with Randy right. in college. And Randy, was Randy like a fifth or a sixth round pick?
That's
he wasn't a high draft pick, so I don't know how Montana got in there.
Well, no, because he was a similar type. He was a runner, short passer. That's what he was. And all these Packer fans were delusional to think he was going to be the next. I'm telling you, Gary, this was really prevalent back then. They thought he was going to be Joe Montana, drafted around the same time Montana was, you know what I mean, the whole bit. And they thought he was. I'm telling you, I go back and I remember these things.
You ate one of those bad blue hens today, didn't you? That's what
You know what I made
today?
You're
delusional.
I made beef cabbage soup, and it's delicious. Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, remember, our coach is a system coach. And what he's been doing to Love is putting in his head, no mistakes, dinky dunky, run the ball, right? This is what he's been doing. So think about this. There's two things I want to say. If LaFleur had Rodgers from the beginning, would they have clashed back when Rodgers was a young guy? In the beginning, they sort of clashed, right? Remember when he wanted Rodgers to do what he was saying the whole bit? So would they have clashed way back then when he had Rodgers in the beginning? So, and another thing about Love, you could tell it's an experience because when the blitzes were coming up the middle, all he had to do was take two steps to the right and he would have hit Brown doing that deep cross and it would have been a touchdown. They showed that. Olsen showed that clearly. And the whole bit, it would have been a touchdown. But what happened was he stood in the middle, didn't move, and took the hit.
Correct.
So that's only going to come with experience. That's the only thing that's going to give it to him. I think he has possibilities. He had a touchdown pass drop. And don't forget, Winfrey fumbled the ball. Remember?
Yep.
The wide receiver fumbled the ball, which cost him. So, you know, you got to take the pluses and the minuses. I can't look at the guy and say he's going to be Blackie or is he going to, you know, let's say, give me, let me answer this question. If he's as good as Don Mikowski, will Packer fans be happy?
You can go to a Super Bowl if he's Mikowski.
I take that.
Yeah, I think you can go to a Super Bowl. If he's Mikowski with this offense and with what they have on defense, I think they could go to a Super Bowl. Thanks for the call. Am I overstating that, Gary? Oh, yeah.
No, I take that in a heartbeat. And he's got a better arm than Mikowski. Mikowski's arm really wasn't that strong.
But his ability, Mikowski had to get out and run and make plays on the move. That's what made, I think, Mikowski special.
Right.
Now, again, whether or not Jordan Love can do that, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Irv got it. Tweets at Big Show Network. I don't love what I see out of number 10. Matter of fact, I saw 12 reasons why you present a contract to 12 and 17 on a flight home from Detroit. You made a mistake drafting him. Move on. That's from Irv Got It, tweeting at Big Show Network. He won't be the only one. I can all but tell you that.
But see, that's okay. I mean, yes, I want Aaron Rodgers. I don't know
we
why.
Do.
Well, right? Who doesn't want Rodgers still to be here?
Well, maybe John Jordan.
Why do people? Yeah, I don't even know about that, Stevie. Quarterback is funny, but I mean, what people don't understand, we had A.J. Dillon on our show yesterday on the Big Show Network. Was that Friday already?
Yeah, today's Sunday already.
And he gave you a glimpse of, Leroy asked him about the running back room. He gave you a glimpse of what that running back room looks like and how he got to be as good as he was right now because of guys like Aaron Jones. Now, for the first time, Steve, that I've seen, I saw a committed, a connected Aaron Rodgers as far as what Jordan Love was doing in this game. You saw him there. He was standing there.
Yeah, he was involved.
He was talking with LaFleur. He was involved.
Yep.
And it felt like I'm going to try to help this guy.
Right.
I want to help him. He's got to get better. I mean, it felt like Rodgers was committed and basically to the team and to Jordan Love.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Now, whether Jordan Love likes it or not, to get down with it or not, I'm sure he's very smart and intelligent. I'm sure he knows that Rodgers is in his corner.
All right, the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line. Still got time for you going up here to 5 o'clock. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Thoughts on what you saw today, whether it be on Jordan Love, whether it be on this Packers team giving up 37 points, maybe some positives to point out in this game because we haven't heard many of them. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. It's 855-830-8648. Tweet us at Big Show Network. Marcus, north side of Milwaukee, will lead things off coming up next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Love dumps it underneath. Got some room. DeGuar, first down.
That was a positive, Gary Ellerson. That run right there. It felt like DeGuara was running away from everybody. But the Packers end up losing 37-30. That play from Love to DeGuara. I was impressed by DeGuara's speed there. It really felt like he was running away from the Lions defenders.
Yeah, it really did. But you still, you know, we haven't talked a lot about it, but I think they missed Tonyan a little bit. I mean, Tonyan's a little bit more of a big play, down the field type tight end receiver for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they might have hurt them a little bit, but you saw what DeGuara has meant to this team and the role that he can play, move guy, fullback, tight end. I mean, he can do a lot of things for you, and he showed his versatility. I mean, faster than most people think.
All right, let's go to Marcus, north side of Milwaukee. You're next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show presented by Lakeland University with Gary Ellerson and me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up?
Hey, Sparky, Gary, how you guys doing today, man?
Good.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, my takeaway from the game is this, guys, on the positive. If you look at it this way, I mean, how many teams are blessed, and I've lived here all my life, and I'm in getting towards my mid-50s. Listen, you know, if you start the season off, Gary, somebody tells you the last 4 or 5 years are consistently, you're going to win 13, 14 games a season, but it's on you to win the postseason. How many teams wouldn't sign up for that? Sign me up, right? We're good, right?
Okay.
So this game
okay.
didn't Right. This game didn't, you know, they showed me a lot the first half. The second half of Jordan Love, that was, he did show a lot of promise of what he had to do. But what I'm concerned about, I'm going to look at the part that the Packers need to focus on. We need to focus on the fact of finishing. Do you have that Bill Belichick? And that's why I'm bringing his name up. Do you have that Bill Belichick to finish a game, to pile on the points? Not just barely win the game. Do the Packers have that killer instinct to make the score 100 to whatever? And that's the one thing in my entire adult life that I noticed the Packers don't have. They seem to take their foot off the gas pedal, no matter what it is. Now, this is a do-or-die situation, these two games, to get to the Super Bowl. And I believe that if they win the Super Bowl, Gary, Spark, I believe with you that Aaron will be back. He's going to want to try to taste the third one. I believe he will chase that along with Devontae to chase that. But it's going to come down to, do we have that killer instinct to finish off opponents? I don't care what the score is. I don't care if it's 50-2, like the old Chicago Bears. Finish your opponent off. If you really want that trophy, that's what you'll do. I'd like to hear you guys talk about it, and bless you guys, and thank you for your show.
You betcha. Thanks for listening, Marcus. Appreciate it. So do you think they have a problem with finishing games, Gary?
Funny that you mentioned that. I'm looking at a tweet right now by a good friend, Rob Reichel. You want to who Rob Reichel is, Steve? You want to tell
Rob Reichel writes for Forbes and Conley Media. He's covered the Packers and everybody else for a long time.
Robbie says, Ken Stabler, Donovan McNabb, Aaron Rodgers are all 1-4 in conference championship games, giving them the lowest winning percentage or .200 for QBs.
So that's probably not good then.
Rodgers, give it for QBs with at least 5 appearances. Rodgers hopes to break free of that category in the next few weeks. Wow, I did not realize that. But good company. Stabler's a Hall of Famer.
He is.
McNabb's not.
That's another, they were really good with McNabb though in Philadelphia. They just couldn't finish.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of that blame was put on Andy Reid more than it was on Donovan McNabb. That was until T.O. got there and split the locker room, and then people started looking at Donovan McNabb.
Right. And if you look at the blame here is put on the defense or the lack of players that Rodgers had around him. More so than Rodgers.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that.
And
that's the thing here. But again, if, as we talked about earlier, if they score that touchdown and go up, with scored it to Guara from Jordan Love to get to 30 to put yourself up, and the Packers end up losing this one, people are mad at the defense for blowing the game after Rodgers had the lead, probably. But with Jordan Love at quarterback, obviously the narrative changes a little bit, and people are mad at Jordan Love. But correct me if I'm wrong, their defense was still out there playing at that point for Detroit, right? It wasn't like he was playing against third-string defenders for Detroit.
No, they were still going starters, Steve.
Right, okay, so just to clarify, making sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah.
So that was still the deal. All right, let's hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. He spoke to the media after the Packers lost 37-30. We'll hear from him coming up next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
The Green Bay game is over. What went right? What went wrong? What's the latest on the injuries? It's time to hear what the head coach thinks of today's game. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Packers come on the losing end, 37-30. Steve Sparky Fiber, Gary Ellerson with you. We broadcast live from the Lakeland University studios. Online learning in 7 locations throughout the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Matt LaFleur talked after the game, and this is some of what he had to say.
Well, we got to give the Lions a lot of credit. They came out ready to play, and they were able to finish the football game. I'm disappointed that we had an opportunity there going up 30-27. We couldn't get the stop and then had other opportunities to go down and at least tie the game or potentially win it, and we didn't make the plays. And the one thing I told our guys is I was happy with the effort. It was great to see some guys that maybe might not have gotten as much time throughout the course of the season. Those are valuable reps. It was great to get a couple guys back. But no matter who's out there, the expectations don't change. And, you know, we're about winning with the Green Bay Packers. We'll never just celebrate the effort. We gotta win, and we'll never accept losing. And that's just the mindset and the mentality. And I think our team has done a great job of, in previous losses, of bouncing back from them. And that's what I expect from our guys. And we'll take this week to kind of, you know, stay sharp mentally and hopefully heal up, rest up, and just keep our mind on ball, because we're at the point of the season now. You get one crack at it, man, and you got to make everything count. So we need everybody's best effort each and every day. We know nothing's going to be given to you. You have to earn everything you get. And so, we'll lick our wounds from this one, and we'll move forward.
Now that Dave's back and you guys are selling the record anymore, for how long has this day kind of been penciled in as the likely return? Is this always kind of been the plan?
No, I think it definitely was not the plan. The plan was previous weeks, and that's why I kept telling you day to day, because we didn't really know. You know, obviously from a coaching perspective, you'd like it to be sooner. But, you know, like I told you guys all along, we weren't going to do that until everybody felt comfortable with where he was at. And, it's a big injury that he's coming off of. And I know this. It wasn't for a lack of work or want to. David has been grinding, been putting in the time, and it's just one of those things. It's not like cookie cutter where, hey, 8 months or 9 months. I think everybody's a little bit different. Everybody responds to things a little bit differently, and everybody's injuries are a little bit different. So it was great to get him back out there today. We'll take a look at the tape and, you know, have a good plan for him moving forward, and hopefully, you know, he can build upon this. But like I told him and Josh, there's no substitute for football shape, and I think it was a good for them to be back out there, and like I said, hopefully we can build upon that.
Did he get through it okay, Matt? Did he get through it okay, and why did he come off?
I think he just felt more fatigued than anything else, so I wouldn't say that it's anything that we're truly concerned about. But I think with anybody that is coming back, you know, you got to see how you respond from this. Like, what does tomorrow look like? What does it feel like? So, we'll continue to work and monitor, and hopefully I can give you guys an update later.
So, barring the setbacks with either of those two guys, do you feel pretty good about putting them in for a one or go home game? Play a full game as long as there are no setbacks this week?
That's what I expect, but things change, so we'll take a look at it and we'll see how they feel and how they respond and where they're at.
Kyler's being a rookie, he missed a lot of valuable snaps. What do you see with him that still makes him the guy that you want to go with in that setting?
Well, I think, we will reevaluate everything moving forward. But it was one of those deals where here's a guy that's had a long way off that we did not want to warm him up and then, pull or have him sit on the bench, get cold, have to rewarm him up, and then put him out there. It was one of those deals where we thought it was best to go right transition from the warm up to go play in the game, and then we'll see how long he can go. And there was not like a necessarily have a exact pitch count on him. It was more like I told you guys throughout the course of the week, we're going to play it by feel and see where he's at. And when he started to get fatigued, that's when we thought it was the best to pull him.
What did that correlate? I'm not going forward for your next game.
Yeah, I'm saying we'll evaluate everything.
How was MVS's back doing, and do you have any concern?
I have no update on MVS right now. But obviously, anytime a guy goes out, you're definitely concerned about it.
Before, all week you said that the goal was, among the goals was momentum and keeping that going and getting all healthy. Taking those two things into perspective, how'd you think today went?
Well, I might have a better perspective tomorrow. Right now, I think we're all competitors and we don't like losing. And it doesn't feel any different than any other game. When you lose, you're pissed off. And, you know, but I am happy in the fact that it seems to that we got out fairly healthy.
Was there anything
Yeah, how he plays every snap. So we'll take a look at the film.
First half with Aaron, did you hold your breath when he took some hits? And did you at all tell him, don't get that extra yard today, go down, or is it business as usual?
I hold my breath every time he gets hit. So, credit to Detroit. They had some pretty good stuff for us in terms of some of their pressures. I'm sure we'll definitely learn for those, and hopefully we can get that corrected before we go into the playoffs. You know, I think I could have done a better job as a play caller of putting him in situations where we were in some of those empty formations on third down, and that's where some of our issues came.
What did it feel like seeing Devontae Adams get the franchise?
All right. So there is some of what Matt LaFleur had to say. Can we talk about the empty formations that he was just talking about there, Gary, for a second?
Go ahead, and that's why I
cut it off right there.
Okay.
I get when you have a veteran quarterback and you decide you want to go empty looks. We all know I hate empty looks. I don't care if Rodgers is the quarterback, Peyton Manning, or Jordan Love, because you're essentially telling the defense, we're not running, obviously. We're throwing it, and pin your ears back and come get me and see how far you can get and see if you can come home on me. But I think when you have a young quarterback, an inexperienced quarterback like Jordan Love, I don't really know if that's the best option at this point for Jordan Love. I think for Jordan Love, the better option is to have one or two running backs in the backfield and make the defense guess two, three times over as far as run or pass, and then what variation of that's going to be versus kind of telegraphing a little bit. Now, again, you don't know the routes or anything like that, but you do know that the run option is taken off the table. So if you want a blitz or whatever, you know there's not a guy back there to pick up the blitz if you bring more guys than the offensive line has. You know there's no guy back there to help out Jordan Love pick up somebody if he beats an offensive lineman. It just puts that quarterback in a horrible situation.
Yeah, I think in this case with Jordan Love, you're trying to get a look. What can you do? I mean, let's put you in that position. Can you handle it? You may see it again. It's all a learning process. I mean, it's not like they're not going to run that play. They do it with Rodgers. I mean, that's what they do.
But do they do that with Jordan Love going forward if Rodgers isn't there?
Yeah, if that's part of the offense, I think you see it.
See, and I think the offense changes somewhat. I
think it does, but how about this, Steve? How about they do it 10 times with Rodgers and 5 times with Jordan Love?
You're saying game to game type situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Or then if Jordan Love didn't start having success, then you'll see him with it more. But if it's part of the game plan, they're going to at least try and see if he can get it done.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have matchups that you're looking for across the board. And especially if you're going to have Aaron Jones in the game, there's going to be a linebacker somewhere matched up with Aaron Jones. Now, like to do that. Go ahead.
You're saying when you split Jones out wide, the running back's in the game. He's just split out.
Yeah, he just split out. So you're going to look for that matchup all day long. And then I like what they did one time. I think they had A.J. Dillon split out wide, and then they had Devontae Adams in the slot. And they use A.J. Dillon really as a blocker outside. And I believe that was empty as well. And I think Devontae's got like 10, 12 yards on that play. And A.J. just destroyed the corner or safety, whoever was over top of him, in the block to break him free. So you'll have built-in routes where they're not really that long, but you're in an empty set.
All right, well, let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. Now, Rodgers, had a pretty good game from when he was in there, 14 of 18, 138, couple touchdowns. Did have numerous times where he held onto the ball and didn't make the throw and ended up having to run or take a sack. I thought protection for Rodgers was pretty good while
it was
in there, right?
Yeah, but still, Steve, for me, it was unsettling because Rodgers was trying to go to Devontae Adams almost every single play. And that's why it didn't look good early. I thought he was looking for Devontae to get that record. Now, I understand it. I get it. But I think that's why he went to hold on the football a little bit too much for my liking.
Yeah, because with Bakhtiari and Myers in there. I thought the projection was really good. I mean, even
it was.
They were even talking about it on the broadcast. Like, he's got all the time in the world to throw the football. And the next thing you know, then he's
taking hits.
Right. And then he's having to get out and run to get out of there a little bit because the offensive line can't hold on for 10 seconds anymore. And so forth.
Drove me crazy.
But Rodgers eventually comes out of the game and ends up wearing the headset of all things while standing on the sidelines. And of course, that gets asked right off the bat during his presser.
How much play calling did you get when you put the headset on? What was it like, you know, being in that role?
Zero. Just sometimes, like in the preseason, I'll do that if it seems like I need to calm somebody down. So I enjoy getting on. I didn't want to get on until the fourth quarter and help Matt out, you know, with some of the two-minute calls or ideas. But I love being on the headset. It's a fun group of coaches. And obviously, you know, we're playing to win, but already with the one seed locked up, it was maybe a little less tense than it usually is in a close game like that.
All right, next up, Hunter Baumgart, WJJQ. Go ahead, Hunter.
Yeah, Aaron, just a quick question about the toe. Is that going to be a non-issue as you go into the playoffs? You know, you're able to practice a couple of times this week and obviously opted to play today because, you know, instead of getting 2 weeks of rest on it, was it able to pretty much heal how you wanted it to over these last six or so weeks?
Well, I don't know about how I wanted it to. I mean, I didn't want to have any setbacks, and I had multiple setbacks throughout the 6-7 weeks. But I feel good. Toe made it out again. Okay, we'll probably do a scan. X-ray next couple days, see where it's at, but I feel like it's going to be a non-issue moving forward.
All right, next up, Marcus Eversole, WDUZ. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, Aaron, you got me? So you guys obviously had the number one seed and home field last year, but now obviously you'll be at Lambeau all the way to the Super Bowl. Last year with limited fans, how much are you looking forward to having the one seed with a full capacity? And really, how big a difference do you think having a full house of fans makes with having that number one seed?
I think it makes a huge difference. We've played in some tough environments on the road in the playoffs over the years. And when the crowd is rocking and yelling and standing up, it's tough. You know, it makes it really hard on the opposing team's offense for, verbal communication, cadence and different things. So I'm really looking forward to having a full crowd, that good old Green Bay weather. It's been an advantage for us for a long time, and I think it'll be an advantage having 78,000 instead of 7,800 like we did last year.
All right, next up, Kyle Malzahn, WFRV-TV. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Aaron, in your second year working with Jordan Love in that quarterback room, I'm curious as to how your guys' relationship has grown the most this season.
You know what? I think as an older player, you create opportunities for young guys to feel comfortable. I think that's the best thing you can do from a leadership standpoint, from an older teammate standpoint. So that's what I've tried to do in the quarterback room, create an environment that's fun, that's laid back, that's carefree, that involves a lot of communication and conversation about football and non-football stuff. And that's what I've tried to do with all my rooms, and especially as the age differences has crept up over the last few years. Just create a room that is really fun and comfortable and allows guys to be themselves. And I've seen Jordan's personality, you know, continue to come out and as he settles into the NFL and professional life, and obviously having his sweetie back has definitely made a difference, I think, from just a pure enjoyment standard. Last year in COVID, that wasn't the case. So it's been a lot of fun. He's a great kid. He really is. He cares about it. He works his butt off. He asks good questions. And he's got a great wry sense of humor. He's a quiet kid, but I respect that. I was a quiet kid as a young player, too. So I really enjoy his personality. I enjoy his friendship. And we have a lot of fun together. And I'm proud of the way he played today.
All right. Next up, Adriana Torres, Fox 11. Go ahead.
Hello. A bunch of players talked this week just about getting a win today would bring a lot of momentum into the playoffs. Obviously, you guys didn't get that done, but with it being close, did you feel like you got some momentum heading into the bye week and then the playoffs?
Look, we already locked up the one seed, so the win was obviously would be nice, but most important thing was get out there. You know, I really wanted to get, we talked about momentum, that's important. I wanted to get out there with Dave and Josh. Yeah, that was my main focus. Obviously, you want to get Devontae, you know, his record. But you know, get some rhythm within the offense, get some rhythm with those two guys, especially. We got to figure out what our best five is and what our healthiest five is. And obviously, Billy's coming back from an injury. Royce has played a ton of football for us. Lucas played a ton of football for us. So we got to figure out what our best five is. And, you know, it's nice to see Dave out there at left tackle and Josh in there at center. And then Lucas moving back to center in the second half and Royce coming back at right guard. I think we have a lot of depth, which is a good thing to have. And we'll see what Billy's status is going forward for the playoffs. But I like where we're at offensively up front. And I think that was what today was most about.
You know, that's the one thing too, Gary, there's Aaron Rodgers talking after the game, not all of it, just a few minutes of it, is, you know, if Jordan Love ends up being this guy and Rodgers is moving on, yeah, I really feel good about what he's going to have up front here. I mean, we're talking about next year to start, Bakhtiari will be there. Jenkins won't be there at all next year unless he comes in there in the second half of the year. But even if there is no Jenkins, with Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers, Newman, and then whoever it ends up being the right tackle, and that could be a veteran like a Dennis Kelly or whoever it may end up being, or you move Yash Nyman over there to play right tackle, you got to feel good about the protection they're going to give Jordan Love, and you got to feel good about the run blocking you're going to have for Dylan and Aaron Jones and company next year.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. I mean, you look at the offensive line, that is right now probably the strong suit of this offense. They're deep, and they can play, and they can run block.
Yep.
You've got a good running back in A.J. Dillon. I like Taylor, the kid with the knee injury. What's his name? Is that Kylan Hill?
Kylan Hill, yep.
See what he does when he get back. They got a good group of running backs. Alan Lazard is going to be around for a little bit. MVS is going to be around for a little bit. I mean, they can probably go and draft a receiver if they need to, if they lose. I'm saying if Rodgers and Devontae are gone.
Correct, yes.
They won't. I mean, it changes what they're going to look like, but they have those pieces in place to run the football.
They may draft a couple wide receivers.
What they have to do, though, then, now with that, they've got to get better defensively because they got to get stops. They got to get off the field. Special teams, they got to get better special teams. They got to get a return guy that can put them in positive field position every single time to help that offense out.
Not having Devondre Campbell really hurt today. It really did. I mean, you really
saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. You really saw how important he was to this defense today by him not being out there on the football field. I don't know if they still give up 37 or not, but I think the defensive effort would have been better had Devondre Campbell actually been out there and playing. All right, take a quick timeout. We'll come back, wrap this one up. 37-30, the Packers come up on the losing end to the Detroit Lions to end the regular season at 13-4. Now a bye week next weekend before they play their first playoff game in 2 weeks.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Packers fall to the Detroit Lions 37-30. Green and Gold postgame show presented to you by Lakeland University. Online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Gary Ellerson in this one. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, 14 of 18 for 138, 2 touchdowns. Jordan Love, 10 of 17 for 134, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. On the day for Jordan Love, and now 2 weeks off. And you heard LaFleur say in the last segment, talking about having to have everybody's best effort day to day here, now going forward. It doesn't appear to me, and maybe I'm crazy, it doesn't appear to me that there are a lot of people in the National Football League, coaches-wise at least, that really like this bye week all that much and kind of fear the rust factor, it appears, when you play your first game in the divisional round, Gary.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams do fear that. And if you're the Packers, they've been hurt a lot this year. So they want to try to get healthy. I thought they did a great game plan today, Steve. I don't know if you thought about it. We can talk about it a little bit more on tomorrow. But I thought Matt LaFleur had a great game plan in trying to get Myers and Bakhtiari some reps and just to get them up to game speed. I thought that was done pretty good. Now, I would not have played them away from home, but he did it and it worked out. Got to give him credit for it.
Again, Leroy was concerned about that surface in Detroit, but that's still way better than, like, say, the Silverdome was all those years ago.
It is way better than that, no doubt about it.
So there is that. But again, and Olsen, Greg Olsen, the tight end who was on the call for Fox, pointed out that you probably don't want him having his first action at left tackle in a playoff game, having not played for a year.
Which is correct.
Which I buy. But my question is, what about Jaire Alexander, who did not play in this game, who I think a lot of people expect to see in the playoffs, and his first real live game action will be in a playoff game, Gary. It's going to have to be because he didn't play today.
Well, and probably because he had COVID.
Correct.
Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he just was a little bit too weak and couldn't get going here.
I would imagine so. Lions beat the Packers 37-30. A green and gold Monday tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. You'll hear me. You'll hear Gary. You'll hear the three-time finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Leroy Butler, Dan Plucker, executive producer, will be here as well. That's tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. Our thanks to Adam Roberts for producing today's Green and Gold postgame show. Enjoy the rest of your night. Have a good one. Toodles.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.